Sin brought a curse on all of creation, including earth and man. Jesus came to redeem us from the curse and to protect us from its effects. Tornadoes, earthquakes, and plagues came with the curse. Those things weren't here before Adam and Eve sinned. Can you say amen? Sin brought a curse that has affected the weather and everything you see. And a lot of things that we call acts of God is really just the curse. In some cases, not even the devil. This whole thing is cursed. Can you say amen? Romans 8, chapter 21, listen to this. The creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. That curse has affected everything, and the earth itself is groaning for redemption. And one day God's going to redeem the whole thing and set us and this world free from the curse that we brought by bringing sin. Somebody say amen. You see, the creation itself, it says, also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. So the whole creation is groaning for deliverance from the effects of the curse that came with sin, and redemption's on the way. Can you say amen? God does not send curses on godly people. Rather, he sent Jesus to rescue us from the curses. A lot of things we just call accidents, that's what they are, accidents. And it's because of the curse. It's because we opened the door to this thing. And I came to tell you today, and God sent me to tell you, no matter what's happening around you, if you'll serve him, he'll take care of you. He'll give his angels charge over you. And we look around, and we don't see any difference between us and those who are living for the devil. Well, I see a big difference, but God has promised to give his angels charge over me to keep me safe in all my ways. And so I'm not believing for bad things. I'm believing for good things in the middle of a cursed world. How about you? God does not send curses. Now, in some cases, he does on evil, demonized people, but I'm not talking to evil, demonized people, am I?
Amen.
And when he does send bad things on those evil people, it's for redemption. It's not because he's trying to destroy them. It's because he's trying to get your attention and bring them into the kingdom. But you will not find any place in the whole Bible where God put a curse on a good, godly person. How dare you find it? God does not send curses on godly people. Mark 7:32. There some people brought to him a man. Now I'm preaching through the miracles of Jesus Christ to show you what he did. He went about doing good and healing all the oppressed of the devil. And you can see it through his lifestyle and through his miracles. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. And they begged him to place his hand on the man. You see, this is intercession. They were asking Jesus to help this man. And very often you can do the same thing. You can pray and intercede before God for your loved ones to be healed, be delivered, be saved, be set free. Verse 33, after he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. And some so-called faith healers, I've seen them do some pretty weird things. But Jesus is doing some things here that looks a little different too. You say amen. But if he does it, praise God, it's right. Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. And he looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, which means be opened. When Jesus spoke to the problem, things happened. And God began to work miracles because Jesus really was sent to undo the curses and to undo the work of the devil in our lives. It's time that God's people quit blaming God for every bad thing that happens. It's not God.
Amen.
I know there's a lot of preachers preaching that, but that's not what this book says.
Amen.
And this, the man's ears opened. His tongue was loosed, and he began to speak plainly. This does not say he was deaf and dumb because of a demon. Some cases it was. Some cases it's just the curse. It's just the mess we got ourselves into by rebelling against God in the garden. When we were in the garden, Adam and Eve were in the garden. This could just be a birth defect, which is a curse, but Jesus fixed this birth defect. Can you say amen? He could hear and speak after Jesus ministered to him. I'm here to tell you the Word of God says Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He was here to show us God in 2,000 years ago, and he's here today to show us what God is really like if we'll let him. Can you say amen? Every problem is not a demon. Every disaster is not an act of God, but Jesus is present to bring good out of every disaster. Really, what does it really matter what caused it? It matters that the guy that can fix it is here. We debate things that really don't even matter. What matters is Jesus Christ is present to help us in our mess. And so we're preaching through the miracles of Jesus. Look at Luke 16:16. The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God, the new covenant, is being preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it. You see, Jesus was advancing the new covenant. And that scripture right there is a theme for this series, that Jesus Christ came to drive back darkness, to drive back Satan, to drive back the evil kingdom, to birth us into God's kingdom, to transfer us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And now we're part of that great kingdom of God that's marching against darkness. And we need to know who we are, and we need to know the authority we have. And that's what this series is about, is watching Jesus as he operated under the grace of God, not under the law. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the good news is being preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it. Who was it preaching the good news? Jesus. Who's still preaching the good news? Jesus. Hopefully through us. Okay. And others. Luke 13:4. Of those 18, listen to some of this. I've noticed there's some scriptures, like I'm preaching today, preachers never mention them. I think sometimes it's because they don't know what to do with them. And sometimes I don't know what to do with them until I pray over them for sometimes a long time. Luke 13:4. Are those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? Verse 5. I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. What's he saying? He says, no, that was an accident. But if you do not repent and get things right with God, you're not protected. I'm protected. How about you? Well, now, when my time comes, I'm going to go, and however God does that, I probably won't have a lot of sanity. I might have a little bit if you let me. But when your time comes, you're going. Can you say amen? But I believe God has got his angels around his people who obey him. It says, be a doer of the word. If you're in rebellion, you're not doing the word. You need to start doing the word. When you give, and when you pray, and when you fast. You're not saving money when you refuse to give to God when he tells you to. You're cheating yourself. Can you say amen? And a lot of times we're not blessed financially because we're not doing the word. God says give, and we say, no, thank you. When I have an opportunity to give, and I know it's God, I get excited about it because I know God will use that to bless me. Not only bless what I'm giving to, but to bless me so I'll be able to do it next time. It makes life exciting. If you don't believe that, well, read the Bible. You'll believe it. If we serve God, he will give his angels charge over us to protect us. We must repent and be a doer of God's word. Are those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men? No, they weren't. It was an accident because of the curse. We're never safe. Well, I'm safe in my house. Well, what are you going to do if an airplane crashes into your roof? Then what are you going to do? Accidents happen. So, preacher, you're trying to scare us. I'm trying to tell you, if you put your faith in God, he can protect you and will. And a lot of times we look around and see all these things happening all around us, and we live in fear. No, 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 no. That will attract the curse. Fear very often will bring the curse. Amen. When somebody comes to my office and they say, I've just been diagnosed with cancer, the number one thing we have to deal with is fear. Amen. Fear is more dangerous than cancer. It shuts down all your faith. It sends your whole being into panic, and you start expecting disaster. Can you say amen? But if we know that those things are just part of the curse, and that they didn't come from God, and in some cases it is the direct work of Satan. I've dealt with it. I know it can be. But the truth is, Jesus is present to deliver us and heal us and restore us. Somebody say amen. You see, we live in a cursed world, but if we serve God, he will give his angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. Who believes the Bible here? Yeah. Psalm 91, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways and to bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Matthew 15:32, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. Does God really care if I have something to eat? Jesus said, take no anxious, worried thought about what you shall eat, drink, or wear, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So we don't just get sit back and do nothing. When we put the kingdom first, he starts adding the water, the bread, the milk, whatever we need. That's the way Don and I have had to live. Okay. Starting a brand new church from nothing. We've had to totally trust God. Talking about walking on water. It is like walking on water. And living by faith is like walking on water. You just got to trust God to take care of it. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. Now let me ask you, do you believe Jesus Christ is still the same yesterday, today, and forever? Okay, do you believe this applies to you? I do not want to send the members of the Knoxville Christian Center and the attenders, I do not want to send them away hungry or they may collapse on the way. Huh? No, he wants to take care of you. Can you say amen? And if you'll put your faith in him and do what he tells you to do, that passage I pray over you at the end of every service, if you obey my voice, these blessings will come on thee and overtake thee. Blessed to be in the city, blessed to be in the field, and believe that. Amen. But you notice the first part, do what I say. Yes. If you obey my voice, if he says pray, you need to pray. If he says read the Bible, you need to read the Bible, and he's already said that in his word. So verse 36, He took the 7 loaves. Now, I know I'm preaching a little different and going a little deeper, but we need to get this. Amen. We need to quit blaming God for tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes, you know, and plagues. Well, God sent it. No, he didn't. In some cases, he'll send things to bring judgment on evil people to bring them to redemption. But a lot of times, it's just the curse. He took the 7 loaves and the fish. Doesn't matter what it is, just get healed. Because he's available to heal you and deliver you and work miracles for you. Verse 36, he took the 7 loaves and the fish. And when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples. And they in turn to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. The number of those who ate was 4,000 besides women and children. He worked the miracle because he knew that if they had no food, they could collapse on the way. But Jesus Christ was just doing all those things to prove he was the Son of God. That's not what it says. He said, these people have been out here in the wilderness with me for 3 days. I've been preaching to them. I haven't had any hamburgers or a pizza or anything to give them. And so before we send them out of here, we've got to give them something to eat. Did y'all see that? He worked that miracle because they needed something to eat. Amen. Acts 10:38. Jesus went about doing good and healing all. Why don't we get that? He still going about and helping all of us who will believe him. According to your faith. You can't just check out and say, I don't believe that. Acts 10:38, Jesus went about doing good and healing all the oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You see, while on earth, Jesus was doing good and healing all. So here he fed 4,000 men, women, and children to keep them from fainting on the way home. Jesus said, we must work the works of him who sent me. Now I'm pulling out all the scriptures today that can kind of put questions in your head. So let's look at this. We must work the works of him who sent me. We means all believers. We. And you say, well, he told the disciples to do this and do that, didn't tell me. When he left, he told his disciples to go and make disciples. And he said, you teach them and tell them to do exactly everything I've told you to do. So whatever he told his disciples have been passed on to us. John chapter 9, verse 1. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? And very often I had people asking me, well, what have I done to cause this? What have I done? I've been sick and I just can't get healed. What have I done? What sin have I committed? And very often I just say, do you know of anything you've done? No. I said, well, then quit guessing. Quit looking. Because if you've done something wrong, you already know it. The Holy Spirit convicts you. Can you say amen? Amen. Very often you didn't do anything to cause it. It's just you live in a cursed world. I spent a lot of time on this new house around the back, around the swimming pool and around front, doing all kind of, putting all these beautiful plants in. And I'm no farm boy, but it's different. Putting in beautiful flowers and hedges and things is different from planting corn. You say that. Or cotton or green beans. So it's been a trip. But during this terrible freeze, it killed some of my plants. Well, what did I do wrong? I live in a cursed environment, and the freeze killed some of my plants. So what are you going to do about it? I'm going to dig them up and put in more. Y'all get it? That's where we're living. And when I realized how cold it was, I started praying that God would save my plants. And he saved nearly all of them. I think he just let a couple go to show me that they all would have died if I hadn't been praying. Okay. Verse 3, Jesus answered, it was neither. Well, what have I done? Jesus said, you didn't do anything. Oh, pay attention. I'm glad you came to church so far. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. You see, Jesus said, this is just an opportunity for a miracle that the Father might be glorified. It was a birth defect. Can you say amen? A lot of people have birth defects. With Sabrina, she was born with a major heart condition. That was not just a birth defect. I saw it as a cloud of demons coming down on her to kill her. God showed me that in a vision. That was the direct work of the devil. But sometimes it's just a birth defect because of the curse. Amen. This does not say it was a demon. And he said, he said it's just a birth defect and it's an opportunity to work a miracle. And that's what he did. Nobody did anything to cause this. Okay. John 14:13. But it can be an attack of the devil. It can be the curse. But what difference does it make? The healer's in the house. Amen. The miracle worker's in the house. The deliverer's in the house. Look to him to fix it. I'm not crying over my plants that died. I'm believing God to help me have the money and the strength to dig those up and plant new ones. Okay. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. John 14:13. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And sitting back and trying to figure everything out, let's just pray and ask God to fix it. You see, we must work, he says, we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So what is his work? Verse 6, when he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes. Verse 7, and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. You see, so he went away and washed and came back seeing. Jesus came to do the works of the Father, but it was necessary for this man to act in faith. And he did, and he came back seeing. Can you say amen? Now notice how it worked. Now that was just a birth defect or something bad that resulted from the curse. Jesus fixed it, but before he fixed it, he demanded faith. He said, you can be healed, but you got to go over there and wash. It takes faith to act. Can you say amen? Faith without works is dead. Faith without action is dead. That's why sometimes I'm hurting all over, and I say, with his stripes I'm healed, and I believe that, and I start going. Can you say amen? Faith is action. And so Jesus said, the parents didn't sin. How could a little baby sin? He said, the baby didn't sin. The parents didn't sin. It's the environment you live in. I'm here to fix it, but you got to do what I tell you to do. Here's the mud in your eye. Now, go wash. He went, washed, and came back saying, do you have the faith to act on the word of God? And if you're not paying real close attention, what happened was Jesus gave him a word. And if you'll get in the Bible and pray, God will give you a word. Then you can act on it like this guy. But when you get the word, the substance, evidence, and no so inside, you're going to have to act like you believe it. Act on it at least. This is good preaching. This is fantastic. It's always fantastic when you just read the Bible. Can you say amen? And that's basically what I'm doing and always do. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. What did he do? He acted on the word he had. What was the word? Go wash. So it is obvious that Jesus came to rescue us from Satan's kingdom and the curses and from his demons. We should see every problem as an opportunity for a miracle testimony. Mark 8:22, they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man. And I'm just going from one miracle to another, so if it sounds similar, it's just because I'm going through the miracles from one to another as best I can. They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside of the village. And when he had spit on the man's eyes, no sound effects, please. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, this says he spit on the man's eyes. I've been doing it all wrong. I've been laying hands on people. Jesus asked, how many know if Jesus did it, that's what needed to be done? How many trust Jesus? Jesus asked, do you see anything? Now here's where you want to pay attention. He looked up and said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. What does that mean? It means he wasn't totally healed. People were blur. Well, I prayed and I didn't get instantly healed, so I just give up. Huh? No. You can't do that. If he started something, he'll finish it as you believe him to, according to your faith. He looked up and said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. And verse 25, once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Prayed again. Then his eyes were open. Y'all seen this? Then his eyes were open, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Once we know the hand of God has touched us, listen to me, we must stand in faith and believe God to finish what he started. Amen. Sometimes people begin Sometimes God begins a miracle and we still have problems. So, well, I thought God had this fixed. You got to walk it out. You live in a cursed environment. Can you say amen? But if Jesus begins a miracle, I believe he's going to finish it if we'll believe and continue to believe. Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. Believing is our part. A father brought his demon-possessed son to Jesus, his disciples, and they did not have the faith to deliver him. So the father brought the boy to Jesus. He didn't give up. He didn't stop with the preachers. In Mark 9:21, so he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? Now, I preach this, of course, pretty often, but I want you to notice a couple of things this time. And I don't always read everything because I'm aiming it for one point. And he said, from childhood. See, this demon attacked this young man when he was just a child. So a devil can really be behind the problem your children are having. Somebody say amen. So you're scaring me, preacher. No, I'm telling you, you got authority over it. You live in a demonized, cursed world, and you've got to know your authority. That's why this message is so important. You've got to realize you have authority. Verse 22, and often he has thrown, this demon has thrown him into the fire, into the water to destroy him. You see, this is always what Satan, his purpose always is to destroy. That's the point I really want to make. Satan is working all around you to destroy you and your family, your children, your job, everything you put your hands to, destroy your nation. And it's time we stood up and really believed God and took authority. Can you say amen? Amen. Jesus, whoa, glory to God. Got one person excited over there somewhere. I don't know who they are, but praise God. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Who believes that? Amen. Well, I just can't believe. You can if you spend an hour or two every day in meditating on the Word of God. How much is it worth to you to be able to believe God? It's going to take a little time to get in the Word of God. How do I know that? Because that's what I have to do. Verse 24, immediately the father said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Verse 25, Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him. Listen, and enter him no more. You cast out the devil, you did tell him to leave, and don't you dare come back in your own life. If it's a demon of depression, fear, doubt, unbelief, infirmity, you tell that thing to leave and don't come back. Amen. Jesus commanded the demon to come out. The boy went into convulsions and fell down as a dead man, verse 27. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose, Matthew 17:19. Then the disciples came to Jesus and asked privately, why could we not drive it out? In verse 20, he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith that is living like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, this demon, move from here to yonder place, and it'll move, and nothing will be impossible to you. If you build your faith and you truly have it in your heart, I know so faith, you, little old you, can drive that demon out. Because it's not just you, it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit on you and Jesus living in you by the Holy Spirit. Jesus has given, you got to start believing who you really are. Amen. Walk tall. Can you say amen? Jesus has given us authority to tell demons to get out, and they must go if we have a living faith. Jesus came to drive back darkness and to teach us how to drive back darkness by faith, by speaking to demons and devils, speaking to mountains. Well, I'm not speaking to no mountain. Well, go ahead and disobey the Lord. I'm not going to. I'm going to speak to the mountain. I'm going to speak to the demon. But we must have faith. What kind of faith? Living faith. Not just, well, I believe up here. You got to get it in here so you, it's a substance, evidence, and know something. All things are possible when it comes to finances. The devil wants you in poverty. And I know somewhere way back there people glorified poverty, but Jesus did not glorify poverty. The Bible does not glorify poverty. Matter of fact, he says, if you serve me, you'll be blessed. And read through the Bible. Abraham all the way through. All of those who served him were blessed financially. Amen. But the devil wants you to believe in poverty. He wants you to be in poverty. But look at this. Matthew 17:24. After Jesus and his disciples arrived at Capernaum, the collectors of the two drachma tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," he replied. Peter replied. Verse 26, Jesus said to him, "So that we may not offend them, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4 drachmas coin. Take it and give it to them for my taxes and yours." Jesus came to help pay your taxes. Can you say amen? We live in a demonized, cursed world, but the Lord has a way. Can you say amen? And I've never caught a fish with money in his mouth because I'm not a fisherman, but I've had a lot of two-legged fish taking me. I had a two-legged fish gave me a house worth over $1 million. Can you say amen? Okay. Y'all excited yet? Yes, you live in a demonized world, hurricanes, tornadoes, every kind of thing you can think of, nations threatening to blow us off the planet with nuclear weapons. We live in the most scary day anybody ever lived in, plagues that kill millions of people around the world like COVID, but we're sitting fancy because God's got his hands on us, and I'm just grinning, looking to see what God's going to do next. You say, glory to God. And Jesus Christ warned us it's going to be this way in the last day. And it's just going to get worse, I'm afraid, according to what he said. But it don't have to get worse for us. Jesus Christ is still the miracle worker. He still uses the believer. Jesus has not changed. Hebrews 13:8. Let me just read it to you. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still defeating Satan and delivering us from the curses as he did 2,000 years ago. And he demands faith today just like he did then. He always enables his people to win. There is nothing he cannot fix for us.